Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for April 1st, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Steve, Chris, Lauren, and Bob. On today's hello. Show... Oh, hi. Sorry. I just jumped right into it.
You totally skipped our hello.
I did. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. I'm so sorry.
Hi there.
I'm just jumping right in. On today's show, we'll be bringing you news from all around Disney. Today's topic is going to be the flower and garden over at Epcot. And we're also going to have a little bit of non-Disney, but it's still Central Orlando. We're going to have a little bit of information on Universal Studios, specifically Harry Potter. So let's get going. Any announcements for today?
Maybe by the time this airs, free dining may be out. I don't know if we still don't know if it's going to come out. There's a lot of rumors pointing to that it might come out. But if you're planning on going to Disney anyways and you're waiting for free dining to come out, your best strategy is to book what you want now, get the room you want now, the resort you want now, and then start planning your advanced dining reservations and get those all booked. And then if you do that with Pixie Vacations, when and if free dining comes out, then we will switch you to free dining and you will be all set and ahead of the game and first in line and not scrambling like everybody else when the free dining promotion comes out. So just go to pixievacations.com and you can find us there and we can take care of it.
Smart move, if I say so myself. Okay, any other announcements? Shall we jump right into news?
I just have one other on our 5K family run. So if you haven't heard already, we're going to the Wine and Dine over at Disney World, which is October 1st of this year. And we are all going to do the family 5K, which I believe is at Animal Kingdom early in the morning. And you can go to our Facebook page and sign up for that. We've got about 10 families that are running and joining us so far. We're going to do shirts and give the profit that we make from the shirts to Give Kids the World. So hopefully in about a week or so, we'll have a shirt design that I'll post up on our website so you can see that. There'll be $20 for the shirt, and that'll cover the cost of the shirt and the screen printing and also shipping it to you. And then the any extra that's in there, we're going to donate to Give Kids the World. And it should be a pretty easy run. It's a 16-minute mile, so we'll probably walk and run, or mostly walk. Go ahead and join us over there.
And you don't need to run to buy a shirt.
Oh, that's true, yeah. So if you want to get them for your families or friends or anything like that, we'll go ahead and put a sign-up form so we can get shirt sizes and contact information, and then probably ship those out about 6 weeks before the event.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Could I start with sort of some discussion about free dining and the discounts that just ended?
Sure.
Okay. So as everyone knows, discounts ended on the 27th of March, and it was a kids-free and a room-only discount. And so far, nothing has come out. Now, I've been following all the rumors. Usually by now, there's something good out about what the next discount is going to be. I haven't seen anything really that credible other than the link that Lauren sent me about discounts that are already out in the UK. But I'm thinking from the pattern that usually happens, what happens is there's usually a week or so between the end of one discount and the new discounts coming out. And they tend to announce these discounts on Tuesdays because I think Disney thinks that everybody's busy on Monday or something. Maybe they come into work and they actually do work. Whereas on Tuesday morning, they're starting to think about vacations. I don't know what the rationale is. But anyway, nothing came out this Tuesday, but I'm hoping to see something on April 5th. So just keep your eyes open for April 5th. And I know that on the 6th of April, there's something coming out with cruises. So maybe those will go hand in hand.
Hopefully.
I believe on the 6th, the new cruise itineraries come out.
I just think it would be interesting. You know, if they have followed a pattern, it would be the 5th of April. So I'm just going out on a limb here.
Okay.
Like Nostradamus or the Magic 8 Ball.
Well, that's what they need, a Disney Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah. Ooh, you could just have all the different promotions in there. And oh, great Magic 8-Ball. What will the next promotion be?
People are going crazy on all the Disney message boards because, you know, they really wait for free dining. And what I've noticed is that these people haven't necessarily booked yet, but they're waiting for it to come out for summer and for fall. I don't think it's going to come out for summer, probably.
No, I think we're going to see the fall promotions now.
I think it'll be right. Fall.
Fall is typically a weaker period there.
All the more reason to make your dining reservations now if you can make them, if you're 180 days out now, so that you're not competing with people trying to make them for free dining.
Yeah. It's just, it's a dance, and you have to know the steps in the dance. And
right.
The first step in this particular dance is get your dining reservations. Get them made, yes. Whether you have your resort reservation or not. Tie them to your resort reservation later, but get those resort reservations or your dining, because they're going to go, especially all the good ones.
Well, last year I had to make reservations for the first weekend in October, and I made them at 180 days out, and at about 7:15, everything was gone, for example, for Le Cellier.
Yep,
so,
me
I mean,
too.
People were all on that, so.
Yeah.
I had to team up with you for Le Cellier.
That's
yeah, look how that turned out.
That was my other trip. That was my October trip. I couldn't get Le Cellier on the October trip. So,
I've still never eaten there. I've tried. I can't get in every time.
Hey, Bob, do you want to try for Star Wars weekend when we're down there?
Bob, don't take the bait.
No, do you want to know something? See, I was supposed to meet everybody, and it was... Yeah, and we were all going to go into Via Napoli for D23, but now we're not. And so, yeah, so Bob and I are going to meet up for Star Wars weekend. And we're going to have a great time, Lauren.
I'm jealous.
You should
be. I'm dressing up like Chewbacca. No, I'm not. I can't do the walk like Peter Mayhew. But wouldn't that be cool?
It'd be warm. It'd be too hot.
It would be very warm, yes. Yes, it would. But I just think it would be funny.
So when does Star Wars weekend start? When does it start this year?
The 20th of May. So it's just a week after we would have all been down there. So.
And then they're supposed to have Star Tours open then?
Yes, it's supposed to open that weekend.
That weekend, yeah, that day, in fact, that Friday. And no word yet on whether they're going to have a pass holder preview or anything like that. And and then Anthony Daniels will be down there the first weekend. He's the special celebrity guest for that first weekend. So that'll be cool, doing meet and greets with people.
Do you think you would wait for those? Don't you have to get there really early?
You do, and you have to get a fast pass. And I've heard in the past that people have waited overnight on the sidewalk, to get fast passes, and have actually spent entire weekends lined up waiting for autographs. So that's the hardcore people, but if that's what your interest is, more power to you.
Do you know who I want to meet that weekend? Linda Skywalker. Do you know who she is? She's a lady. She's very cool, and she's like a fixture on the scene there for Star Wars weekend. She changed her name to Skywalker.
Wow, that's awesome.
I kind of want my picture taken with her. She's very friendly.
She's like a crazed Star Wars Disney fan.
She's not crazy. She's very normal, other than the, changing her name.
That's cool. I mean, if she had like kids, she could actually,
Doesn't. She doesn't have any kids, but yeah. So, hey, keep in mind, I had twins, boy, girl, and I almost named them Luke and Leia. So.
Aww. My brother had a dog named Leia.
Did he really? Yeah. That's not quite the same as naming your kids Luke and Leia, though.
All right, I have a news story here. This one is the announcement of, almost the announcement of the Disney Children's Hospital is going to be opening soon. And this is, it's going to be so cool. It's going to be like an escape within a hospital. And it'll be at the Florida Hospital for Children. And their goal is to make the sick kids
feel like they're in Disney, you know, with the characters and the greetings, and they've got different themes in different areas on different floors, and it's very Disney-esque. They've got 200 beds, so they can hold quite a few patients. They can accommodate them, and their goal is to make the kids forget about being sick and just getting lost in Disney. Very exciting, I think.
That is very, very neat. I mean, if you do have a child who is sick and needs hospital treatment, I think that's great. Something to get their mind off of it. And because hospitals are scary places for, well, everyone, but, you know, especially children. So I think that's a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pleased to see this. I know, you know, some people may think, oh, Disney commercialization, but I like this. This is a place they can go. There are places where you're thinking, no, Disney, don't go there, but you can go there. You can go to this one. Anyone else?
I've got a quick one on just Disneyland Paris because it ties back to one of our previous shows. They have come out, Disney's come out with a new iPhone app for Disneyland Paris for the park. And it has, you know, the attractions and the park hours, and it also has the ride wait times. And they're introducing it for free. So people are starting to wonder if they're going to do something like that for Disneyland or Disney World in the future.
Okay, so our main topic for this evening, we're going to move to that. That's going to be the Flower and Garden Festival. And we had Bob, our local pixie, who went last week and experienced everything that they had to experience. Bob, why don't you tell us about what you saw?
So Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival is now in its 18th year over at Walt Disney World Resort. And I've always thought of Epcot as a very green-looking park normally, but really during the spring, it really shines and pops with color. It runs typically early March to mid-May every year. This year's dates are March 2nd through May 15th, so it is still going on, and you have time to get down there if you happen to be local or you have a trip coming up within those dates. Just some quick facts as to what you can expect as far as what makes up the Flower and Garden Festival. 30 million blooms blanket the park throughout the festival. There are over 100 character topiaries representing characters like Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Woody, Buzz Lightyear, Donald Duck, Goofy, Pluto, Cinderella, Tinkerbell. They're all represented. 1,000 native butterflies representing up to 10 species in their huge butterfly garden that's there. You have more than 500,000 plants, trees, and shrubs. 250,000 of which are annual blossoms installed just for the festival. And at least 25 different plants, grasses, and mosses of various colors. And as far as the effort that's involved in putting this all together, it takes over a year to plan and 24,000 cast member hours to put together. So it's quite a lot of work. But it is absolutely amazing. If you're into flowers or gardening or just like really a lot of, you know, pop and color and just amazing spring. I can't even describe how good it looks, but, you know, it hits you from the moment you walk into the park. You walk through the turnstiles and right there is in front of Spaceship Earth. You have the big display welcoming you to the festival, and that changes every year. This year's theme was Toy Story 3, so Buzz and Woody are out there, and the giant Pixar ball that's in all of their films was out there, and very nice design, those topiaries.
What about Lotso?
And Lotso was there as well, yep, and it actually smells like strawberries. So just like he did in the movies, it really does smell like strawberries, and it's surrounded by flowers. And as soon as you walk in, you just need to pick up, in addition to your park map, you should pick up the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival guide, because it will tell you where all the topiaries can be found and what's going on throughout the park specific to the Flower and Garden Festival. And they're all numbered, and that'll help you find it. So you can just walk from area to area, and they're just all over. As you progress through the park and you walk past the Art of Disney store and over by Club Cool, you have Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Pluto. And new this year was you had a big display right before World Showcase for Cars 2 of Lightning McQueen, and several country flags were there. The Lion King had a display since that's coming to Blu-ray later this fall. Bambi and Thumper were represented. Winnie the Pooh was a brand new topiary this year. Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Rabbit, those were all represented in a huge display. So tons of topiaries, lots of beautiful flowers all around the parks there. They actually even planted a lot of them to look like hidden Mickeys throughout the park. So you see the large mouse ear designs planted throughout the park. Yeah, very, very neat. Floating planters in the water between World Showcase. They filled them with floating planters full of Impatience. So bright red Impatience in the water there. Give that a lot of color. Just an amazing assortment of things to see and look at. And of course, everything is labeled. So if you don't know what kind of flowers they are, or you know what type of trees are planted, you know, there's a little little sign indicating what it is and giving some information. And then of course they have a lot of presentations, because this is sponsored by HGTV. So they had every weekend they have an HGTV host from one of their shows come and do demonstrations. And there were also demonstrations going on throughout the day on gardening and lawn care and landscaping and taking care of your home and, you know, how to be green and earthy, and free samples of various products and all sorts of things going on. Actually, the headquarters for it inside the park is the Wonders of Life Pavilion. So it is being used currently to house a lot of these demonstrations and seminars that are going on inside. And you can walk through there, and lots of neat merchandise available, new Mickey Mouse wind chimes, cute little sculptures that you can plant, like little garden gnomes of Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Pluto.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah, there's new ones that.
Oh, see, that's a good marketing opportunity for Gnomeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah. Little Mickey gnomes and Minnie and Pluto, they were very cute. I think I saw a Tinkerbell wind chime. There was a welcome stone, like a big stone that said welcome and had Mickey Mouse on it. That was really, really nice looking.
Do you happen to remember how much that was?
$25, I believe.
For a stone. That's a bargain.
$25.95, yeah. Big old stone that you could put at the front of your house. And some very, very cute pink flamingos wearing Mickey Mouse ears that you could also.
Aww.
Yeah, so, and of course, I took a lot of pictures of this, and Steve, I'll be sending those to you. So,
oh, cool. Yeah, so I can put those in the show notes.
Yeah, so people can enjoy. But really, the pictures don't do it justice. It's really just amazing. And then, of course, beyond all of the seminars, and there's a ton of seminars. This the Flower and Garden Festival runs 75 days, and during that time, they'll have 198 seminars for people to go to. So that's pretty impressive. But then, in addition to that, there are Flower Power concert series. So there are going to be performances by various bands every weekend. Some of the artists that you can see from the 60s and 70s were Jose Feliciano, Paul Revere and the Raiders. Melissa Manchester was there when I was there. Gloria, you know, just for anybody.
Thank you for that.
Yes, yeah, I know. It's painful to listen to, I know. Starship featuring Mickey Thomas, the Guess Who, Chubby Checker and the Wildcats. So just tons of entertainment. But it's bottom line, it's beautiful. It goes throughout the entire park and all around World Showcase. And what's also really neat, I thought about this whole thing, is that a lot of the topiaries are themed to the country that they're in. So as you walk through Italy, there's Lady and the Tramp. And as you go through Morocco, there's Aladdin and the Magic Carpet. And that whole section that was kind of like African areas where they have the lion display. So that's just another neat something. And it just adds something to the park. I mean, it just makes Epcot look that much more vibrant, that much more beautiful. And you can really see the effort that went into designing all these topiaries, growing all these topiaries, and the amount of care that must go into making sure that these plants, you know, survive in the Florida heat is something else. And in fact, I mean, they've already got the dates for the 2012 festival up, so it's on the back of the guide. So they've clearly, you know, they plan way in advance to pull this together.
Yeah, I remember seeing a special on this. You know, what it takes, and the just tons and tons of flowers, literally, and the man hours and everything that you've been talking about, and the incredible detail that they put to use when they do something like Lady and the Tramp. You can see the details in the face, and they use all organic materials, whether it's moss or petals. You know, they'll use different things to create the colors that you see, but it's still all organic, and it's just fascinating. It's incredible to me.
It really is. I mean, they had in the butterfly garden, which is really a great area where you can see all these different butterflies flying around and all these beautiful plants and flowers, you know, for the butterflies to land on. But they also have in that area Bambi and Thumper and Flower, and I don't know how they did it, but they're in full color, and it's really, really neat. And like you said, it's all organic materials, whether it's bark or moss or anything else. And you know, same thing. I mean, when you see Rafiki, he's got that, you know, color to him, and he's holding Simba, you know, as a cub, and you know, Simba's that bright yellow, and I mean, the characters almost look like they could get up and walk away. Some of them, I mean, they're that good with the detail and design. So and Lotso's, you know, pink, and it was a nice touch that he smells
and
like strawberry-ish.
Yeah,
he smells like strawberry. They actually did plant some strawberry, so I don't know if that was what was giving off the scent or whether they piped it in.
No, they're piping.
But it was a neat effect, and so it's just really something very, very pretty. And you don't have to be, you know, a green thumb or somebody that enjoys gardening or anything like that. I mean, I don't even, you know, recognize half the flowers that I saw, but it's just very, very pretty to look at, you know, and it's included with your park admission. You know, all of these seminars come at no additional cost. The free samples are exactly that. They're free, that you can get. The concerts are free and included with the price of admission. So, you know, if you're going to be at Epcot, definitely make a point of seeing it. And it was really, you should go, you know, on a day that it's pretty out. I don't think you'd enjoy it very much if it was pouring rain. I was lucky enough to have, you know, gorgeous blue skies and sunshine, and it just really made it that much more enjoyable.
Now, how is the only thing I haven't done is the butterfly garden in the past, because I think it was either a really small tent or maybe not even there the last time I went. But I've heard they've increased the size. Is it a decent size, or how are the crowds for that as well?
It is a decent size. I mean, I think I read that it was four times larger than it was in the past, but it's still somewhat small, and the crowds are numerous for that. A lot of people walking through there, and of course, because they're looking at butterflies, you're constantly starting and stopping, and you've got so they're trying to direct the flow of traffic so that you can kind of walk around and kind of do a circle and then walk out the one side, you know, enter one side and exit through the other, but it doesn't always work that way, and you've got people in there with strollers and people in there with scooters and people in there with wheelchairs, so it can be a little bit crowded, but not overwhelmingly so. But it didn't feel like, you know, when I was thinking four times as large, I was thinking, well, this thing's going to be massive, and it wasn't that much bigger. The other neat thing that they did have, though, besides that, was a giant sand sculpture for Disney's got a movie coming out on Earth Day called African Cats. And so they had a giant sand sculpture made of all these African cats and like the Jeep, you know, and like a guy filming. So it's all advertising their upcoming film, and that was kind of neat. So I took some pictures of that as well. So those pictures will be up with the podcast then.
That's cool. How was it in comparison to previous years? You think it was a little better or a little worse or anything you missed?
I thought they added a lot more flowers. I mean, I had read that they did, and it was obvious to me. I mean, there was a lot more color, it seemed to me, this year. I did notice a lot more flowers planted, a lot more impatience everywhere. A lot of topiaries. I don't know if in the past how many they've had, but they did have about 100. Some of them were the same, and I kind of wonder if they just recycle them or, you know, like they store them and keep them alive and then bring them back out, because Lady and the Tramp, I think, was the same as last year. But then, you know, they had newer ones that were really involved, like Winnie the Pooh. You know, they had, you know, not only Winnie the Pooh, but they had Tigger and they had Rabbit and they had Eeyore. And that was very detailed. I mean, Winnie the Pooh was holding the balloon and Rabbit was holding carrots and Tigger was bouncing. And so that was cool. Of course, like I said, the butterfly exhibit was bigger and more butterflies. They had a pixie garden, which seemed bigger than last year. And I, of course, took pictures of all the pixies. You know, so that'll be. And there, and I noticed, and maybe I just didn't notice it last year, but there were two or three play areas that I saw for kids. And I remember there not being as many, I thought, last year. So that was great. And it wasn't very crowded either, which is good, which is kind of surprising for a weekend. I thought there would be more people, but it was easy enough to walk through and get pictures and stuff. But no, it's definitely obvious that they added a lot more flowers, and I know that too with some of these topiaries, like Buzz Lightyear was very difficult for them to make because he was so heavy. And so they kind of had to put additional work into him to make sure he didn't topple over. I guess just because of the way Buzz is with that huge spacesuit.
Oh yeah.
So it's really clever that they can do these things with flowers, you know, and all organic materials. And likely grow a lot of that probably right there.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been, but I used to, when you live up north, and we don't live up north really, but if you live up north in the snow, it's nice to get down and experience spring a little early and go to that festival.
Yeah, and you know, for me, living in Florida, we don't really have, I mean, you don't see a lot of stuff growing like naturally on the side of the road, and you don't really have many seasons here either. I mean, you have, you know, a brutal summer and you have a fall, but nothing really changes color. So it's nice to see everything in bloom like this. And I thought too, the way they did the impatient towers, they have all these towers with impatience growing on the towers, which is different because if you know flowers a little bit, impatience grow into the ground. But here they're growing up and sideways. So that was kind of neat how they did that.
I have a question. So I've been several years in a row in May, and the flowers weren't looking so good. So would you say better earlier rather than later? I mean, it was still very pretty, but there were fewer displays, and you could tell that they had kind of already broken down some displays.
I would say probably earlier, and I wouldn't and I wouldn't say necessarily even the first day, because I know that like this year, some of the topiaries weren't finished. Lotso wasn't finished growing, and okay. Neither was Lightning McQueen. So I'd probably wait a couple weeks, or you know, a week or 10 days after the start, to make sure they're fully up and running. And yeah, I can understand too. By the end of the festival, they've got to start taking that stuff down. And of course, you know, by May, it's already getting pretty warm,
That was what we figured. We just figured the heat was just so much for most of the flowers.
Overall, I would say they looked pretty good. I'd say even very good or excellent. The topiaries looked great, but when you got up close on some of the flowers, at some of the displays, you could see already some wilting and some dying. And I'm sure it's not for their lack of trying. I just think, you know, being exposed to such heat. I mean, it was already, you know, 82, 83 degrees this weekend, and here we are not even in April. So, yeah, by the time you get into late April, early May, you're getting into upper 80s every day. You may even hit some 90s. So it is just tough on the flowers. So, yeah, I'd probably go aim for earlier rather than later.
Yeah, and the first little while, it takes a while for that rose garden to get started. So that one is better kind of near the middle as well. Once it starts to get growing and blooming.
So it was, but definitely a must-see. There's a lot to do there, a lot to see, a lot to experience, and, you know, at no additional cost. So take advantage. I mean, and I think if you have a green thumb at all or you enjoy flowers, you could probably spend easily all day just walking around, taking pictures, and looking at the various species and things.
I actually received a really interesting question about a year ago at the Chip and Company website, and it was about flower and garden, specifically someone who suffered from major allergies. And they wanted to know, and I guess, Bob, you could give me your opinion on this being a Floridian as well, but they wanted to know if they should avoid the park altogether because of all the blooming flowers.
I guess it depends on your allergies. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't suffer from hay fever or anything like that. I never have, but I don't think so. I mean, a lot of these displays, you could probably, you know, walk right by the topiaries or observe from a distance, and a lot of the flowers that you're going to see are, you know, far enough away. You know, they're on the you know, the growing on the side, you know, next to the water, you know, on the walkway in between you know, Future World and World Showcase. And to be honest, I didn't see anybody walking around. I mean, I spent hours there and I didn't see anybody, you know, with red, itchy eyes sneezing uncontrollably. So
it's not like, it's like Atlanta. You go outside every morning and your car is yellow. It's just starting to get into that season where there's just so much pollen. Or sometimes you'll just see like the wind blow and you'll see this like giant yellow cloud like just go across the road. So it's just starting to get into that season. But I don't think when we lived in Florida that I ever saw it get that bad in Florida.
No, and I didn't see any, you know, like I didn't see any pollen on the ground. I didn't see any dead flowers anywhere. I mean, it was all very well maintained, and I think they'd be fine, truthfully.
Okay.
But that is a good question for an allergy sufferer. Yeah, will you be miserable? Yeah.
I'm curious what happens with everything when they're done. If you know what can you do with all that stuff? There's got to be something useful you can do.
Don't you think they would, compost the plants and keep the metal
frames.
Structures? Yeah. Disney's really good about reusing things, so.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right. And like I said, I mean, some of these topiaries, like Lady and the Tramp, looked exactly the same as last year. So I'm almost wondering whether they, you know, save the frame and then just regrew them.
They do. I actually read an article about that.
Okay. So that makes sense then. And yeah, I mean, I could see them using, you know, Buzz and Woody and Lotso again elsewhere, you know, at a different point. I remember, I think last year's theme at the front of the park was Peter Pan. You know, so they had, you know, they had the big pirate ship and Captain Hook and everything, and so they didn't make an appearance this year. Only the only Peter Pan that they had a Peter Pan topiary in the UK. So and actually when we walked by,
Peter Pan was,
and Peter Pan was actually out there signing autographs and doing meet and greets and posing with his topiary. So that was kind of cute. So yeah, they probably do save everything, compost, you know, everything else, and I'm sure, you know, they do seem like a green company. So I doubt they throw out any of this stuff.
I would imagine not.
But I was just wondering, you know, is there anything that they could donate? I don't know if you'd want to donate anything at that point, or, you know, transplant it to another part of the park. There's just so much that they have, but so much of it is in the topiary that you really can't use it again.
Yeah, just, I guess it doesn't fit, or it wouldn't be as special if they left it in the park, you know, year round, you know, I think. You know, even if they left just a couple of these, I think it would, you know, maybe, you know, I think people look forward to seeing these topiaries and these character topiaries every year and what they're going to come up with.
It really is amazing, though, what they can do with these topiaries. They're so cool. And with the colors, and I swear they're like you said earlier, you expect them to get up and just start moving.
Yeah. It really, I mean, the eyes look real, the belt looks real, the gun, you know, holster that Woody holds looks real. And yeah, it's just cool. But you'll see that in some of the pictures and but yeah, I mean, the pictures don't do it justice. You really need to see it up close and experience it for yourself.
Okay, so that is a pretty good summary of what happened over at the Flower and Garden Festival. If we could go ahead and move to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Bob also recently visited that, and we want to hear what you thought, Bob. How's Harry Potter?
In a word, amazing. To our loyal podcast listeners and even our new podcast listeners, the best way for me to summarize this is to say, when this podcast is over, you need to go to pixievacations.com, find our phone number, and contact us and book a trip, because it is just that good.
Wow.
First, yeah, it is that good. I mean, don't waste time, book a trip and contact us and let us get you there so that you can experience it for yourself. I should thank and put a shout out to and a big thank you to the good folks at Universal for helping us out and providing some information and park tickets so that I could get there and experience it. For just by way of background, because I know there are people that probably don't know, just maybe a little bit about Universal first. Universal Orlando Resort is not affiliated with Disney. It is not part of the Disney parks. You can't get there on the monorail or via a Disney bus or boat or any other way. It is two separate parks. It's Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure. Islands of Adventure is made up of various themed lands, one of which happens to be the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. This was a project that was in development for probably close to 5 years. I remember living in Orlando and going to law school and visiting the parks and seeing the signs for it and looking at construction going up little by little. It now is just about a year old. June 18th, 2010 was its official opening date. So it is almost a year old, and the crowds have not shown any signs of dying down. I'll tell you that we got to the park probably about a half hour after it opened, and made our way into the park. And as you head towards, to get to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, you work your way towards the back of the park by the Lost Continent, where Mythos Greek Restaurant is, and there's that fortune teller, and there's a couple of carnival-like games in that area. Like, you were almost heading towards what used to be Dueling Dragons. And as you walk through that area, you'll have employees there directing you and saying, you know, if you want to go towards Harry Potter, walk this way. And they'll kind of take you back and around. And of course, from the moment you walk into Islands of Adventure, the first thing that you can see is Hogwarts Castle. It's huge. You can actually see it from the highway as you approach the park, in fact. So you walk into this Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and because Universal Islands of Adventure is very well themed, as you move from one area to another, you know, not only does, you know, the environment change, but the music changes. So the music immediately engulfs you, and you hear the very familiar music from the Harry Potter films. And you walk through the gates or entranceway, and you are in, you know, you are in Hogsmeade and in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You are, you know, Hogwarts is there and Hogsmeade is there. And immediately to your right as you walk in, you see the replica of the Hogwarts Express. So there's the train there, and you can take pictures with it. And then just all of the many shops and stores from the movie and from the books that people would immediately recognize. You have Zonko's shop, which is kind of like wacky gifts, and it's like their joke shop. So you have that. You have Honeydukes candy shop, where you can get your chocolate frogs, and you can get your Birdie's Beets jelly beans.
Oh, yuck!
And when we did buy some, and yeah, they are disgusting.
Oh,
I mean, you get some good ones, and you get. I mean, I've tasted
earwax
grass ones. I haven't found earwax yet. I did get grass, and I did get pepper. And I've gotten some that I couldn't even identify. They were just that nasty that I didn't want to keep chewing them.
But
you have the chocolate frogs, all kinds of different candies in there that you can get. Of course, you can get pear juice and pumpkin juice inside those shops as well. The shops now one quick word about the shops. Because J.K. Rowling, when she worked with Universal to design Wizarding World of Harry Potter, she made it true to English style and true to the books, these stores are very, very small. And fortunately, because everybody wants to go to Harry Potter, the stores are also very, very busy. Mm-hmm. But you get about 25 to 30 people in those stores, and you can't move. You really kind of have to excuse me. Oh, I'm trying to get through here. Oh, excuse me, pardon me. So it kind of gets a little tight inside. And if you're claustrophobic, you know, consider that your warning. But we were there early, and the shops were already crowded. People were spending money, and so there's that. You can eat at the restaurant there, the Three Broomsticks. You can go inside there, and you can actually eat. And very cool place. I've got lots of pictures inside there, and giant boar's head on the wall by the bar. So you can eat there, and seems to serve a lot of when I walked in there, they were serving lunch and seemed to be a lot of like roasted chicken, corn on the cob, pork type specials, that sort of thing. There's also, among the other shops that you're going to see, you know, you have the Owlery there, and you can rest under the Owlery, and if you look up, they actually have owls, you know, up on the little boards, you know, in the Owlery, and they actually even went so far as to include owl droppings all over. So it looks very authentic. You can send a postcard from the post shop inside there. You can buy robes and other Hogwarts attire from the shops. You can, if you're so inclined, Ollivander's Wand Shop. You can actually go in there, and they do a show every, you know, let's say probably 15 minutes they do a show, and, you know, the wand selects someone. The one thing with Ollivander's is because, again, the shop is small, they only take about 25 people at a time, and the line starts very early, and it wraps all the way around and all the way around the back of the shop. So at some point I heard that the lines have been as heavy as 2 hours just to see the show. I mean, you can get wands at other shops, but if you actually want to see the show inside Ollivander's, be prepared to wait.
And then I guess they randomly pick a kid, so it's not.
Yes, it's not like you're going to get chosen, or everybody who's inside gets to choose. No, it's one person who gets to do it. So, but you know, a lot of people were lined up. There's other interactive elements in the shops. They had a board set up, like a signage set up, and it said, you know, have you seen this this villain? And it's Sirius Black. But it was a newspaper article, and it was moving. So, you know, like they do in the films, the newspaper article actually, okay. You know, his picture changed and everything. So that's really something impressive. If you look at even the shops that aren't actually open, you know, they're just there for display. Like they had the parchment shop, the Scrivener shop, and they had a tailor. And, you know, at the parchment shop, you could hear, you know, like a pen writing. And at the tailor shop, you could see Hermione's dress and Ron Weasley's, you know, formal gown. And they had the measuring tape moving by itself, going up and down. Which is kind of neat. So very, very neat interactive effects in all of the shops. And they're all topped with snow, and it looks very, very authentic. So once we looked around in all the shops and took some pictures there, of course, had to try Butterbeer. And Butterbeer has been so popular that they've already sold over 1 million Butterbeers to customers and guests visiting the parks. And there are – you can get it at the Three Broomsticks, or there are three carts set up where you can order Butterbeer. And it comes either frozen or non-frozen. So okay. I had to try both types. The preference overall, well, my preference is the frozen, and from speaking with employees there, they said that the frozen is definitely more popular. As far as taste, it's sort of a combination of butterscotch and shortbread, but it is wonderful. I don't know what else they put into it, but it is really good. The non-frozen kind tastes carbonated, like they added ginger ale or something maybe. So it's not quite as good, but the frozen kind is wonderful. And they put a little foam head on each of them, so it even looks like a beer. But because somebody asked me actually in the park this when I was there, it is non-alcoholic, so it is safe for kids to drink. It's also very filling. I guess, you know, from all the butterscotch they put in it.
It would have to be if the kids were drinking it at Hogwarts.
Yeah, well I don't know. I mean, they kind of allude to in the books about the kids being like a little, I don't know, tipsy or a little bit affected by it. But no, it's completely non-alcoholic. But it's so good, in fact, that there were three other separate parties in front of us on the line that we were waiting on, and all of them already had Butterbeer in their hands. So they were already drinking it, and they'd come back for more.
Wow.
So that's how good it is. And it's only available inside that part of the park. You can only get Butterbeer inside Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You can also get pear juice, pumpkin juice. I think there was some kind of other cider you could get, water, but no Coke products there, because obviously they don't exist in the world of Harry Potter. So your choices there are limited, but people seem pretty satisfied with the Butterbeer, and you can actually buy a collector's cup if you want to do for a little bit more. I think the price on the Butterbeer was $4.25 for a frozen cup, and slightly less, like $3.95 for the non-frozen, and then just a couple dollars more if you wanted it in a little collector's mug. And then, of course, what everybody's talking about are, you know, well, what attractions does the Wizarding World of Harry Potter have? And you've got three main rides inside that area, two of which already existed but were rethemed, and one brand new one. First, you have Dragon Challenge, which used to be Dueling Dragons. So it is the same ride. It's just that now the walkthrough has been themed like the movie. And so you've got, as you're walking up through the queue line, you've got all these flags that say, you know, go Cedric, and Harry Potter is the true champion. And you go inside, and it's set up like a nurse's station with a bed, like a little first aid station. And the dragons now, instead of being fire and ice, are Hungarian horntail and a Chinese fireball, I believe. So they're different, but the ride is exactly the same. The other ride that's not new, that was just rethemed, is Flight of the Hippogriff, which was the kiddie roller coaster in that area. But they rethemed it so that you know, as you walk up, before you can ride, you have to learn how to properly greet a hippogriff, and Hagrid will instruct you on how to do that. And the appeal to riding Flight of the Hippogriff, is that you have a great view of Hogwarts Castle from, you know, and that part of the park from the ride. So a lot of adults do ride it. And then, of course, inside Hogwarts Castle itself is the most amazing attraction I think I've ever experienced. The future of theme park rides, Forbidden Journey. And this ride, well, first of all, I should tell you that if you're planning on getting on there, be prepared to wait. You can't, even if you purchase the Express Pass for Universal for the day, there's no Express Pass for Forbidden Journey. Even if you're staying at one of the Universal on-site properties, you can't get, you know, on the ride any faster. So everybody has to line up and everybody has to wait. We got on the line for Forbidden Journey probably 45 minutes after entering the park, and the wait time was 100 minutes.
Wow.
And it didn't go down. So it was probably about 80 minutes by the time we did get through, so it was a little bit conservative, but the lines were long. I mean, it went all the way around the – it started all the way around the backside of the castle, you know, in the overflow area, way, way, way in the back, and you kind of queue your way through, walk through this whole area, make it to the outside greenhouse – and then finally make it inside the castle where you're still queuing. But the real appeal of the ride, even before you get there, is making it inside the castle, because the castle walkthrough is phenomenal. You can also do just the castle walkthrough. So if you just want to see, you know, the castle itself and take pictures, you can do that without getting on the ride. Or if you want to go on the ride first and then go back and do the castle walkthrough, you're allowed to do that. But among the things you're going to see in the castle, you'll have the portraits on the wall, and they will actually have a conversation with one another. And they'll talk about, you know, Dumbledore allowing, you know, guests inside Hogwarts, and what is he thinking, and, you know, the Harry Potter and you know, playing, you know, him playing on
the Quidditch.
Yeah, so he's playing on the Quidditch team. So, and you actually see the portraits talking and moving, and they're, so one is talking to another, and it's across the way, and then that one answers, and then one on the side of the wall answers, and another one on the other side of the wall answers. So that's neat in itself. And you keep walking through, and you get to Dumbledore's office, and it's set up with his desk and his books and things. And Dumbledore comes on and, you know, talks to you about what you can see and what you can expect. But the digital effects make it look like he's almost in the room with you. And I don't know how to describe it better than that, other than to say it's much more than just a face on a screen. You keep walking through, and you get to this one room of the castle where you learn that basically Ron, Harry, and Hermione want to sneak you out so that you can watch the Quidditch game, but you have to meet Hermione in the Room of Requirement first. And she's going to do a spell and, you know, make you invisible, and then you'll be able to sneak out. And again, here, the digital effects make it appear so real. You know, Ron, Hermione, and Harry come out of a door, and it looks like they're in the room with you. And so, you know, Ron talks about Hermione at one point saying, you know, she's really good with her spells and all that. And he flicks his wand, and Hermione says, "Oh, Ron, you've gone and made it snow again." And it starts to snow inside the room. And not that fake snow that you see, like, at you know,
not the bubbles.
This is real snow. It's actually cold when it hits your skin, and it a piece of it landed on my wife's phone and actually melted. So it's real snow. And it does that every few minutes. And so you'll walk through a little bit further, and you get to Right before you board, you get to the sorting hat, and the sorting hat is talking to you, and he's giving you your directions. And you finally get on this, you know, onto the ride, and it's four to a bench, and you are going to ride on this magical bench. You know, Hermione's going to cast a spell, and the bench, you know, will take off. And when the ride starts, you know, it starts to move, and it tilts you back. So you're all on this bench, and you're tilted back, and it's kind of like on an arm, so it's swinging, and it's moving you room to room, and it's taking you through the castle, and, you know, you'll get to, you know, you have a run-in with a dragon that gets loose, and the dragon, and aside from, aside from the screen, you have these interactive effects, so the dragon gets loose, and it's chasing you, and so you're moving not only backwards and forwards as you're watching the screen, but also side to side, swinging back and forth, you know, flying up and down over the grounds of Hogwarts, you know, trying to get away from this dragon, and then the dragon pops out, you know, from the side and breathe hot steam on you. And then, you know, you duck into the caves and there's the spiders there and, you know, you feel the water dripping on you and the spiders are landing and you can see them kind of landing. And you have an encounter with one of those magical trees and it swings its arm at you and you know, almost hits you and you see that. And then you make it to the Quidditch match and you know, you're watching the Quidditch match for a little bit, and then Malfoy, you know, kind of gets involved there, you know, and is harassing Harry Potter, and you know, you're watching all of that, and then Dementors show up while you're watching the Quidditch match, so you've got to get away from the Dementors, and the chase is on again, and again, you're moving backwards and forwards and swinging back and forth, and they're coming down, you know, not only the screen, I mean, they're actually effects in the ride coming at you, and at one point, you feel the Dementor kind of sucking out your soul. And so you hear like a heartbeat racing very quickly, and one of the Dementors turns towards you, and it has a light in it. And if you look at the light, it's got your reflection in it, like he's sucking out your soul.
Yeah.
Is it on a track system in addition to being in front of screens? So it's like moving you through scenes, and then the screens are built into the different.
I guess that's how it works. But again, the digital effects are so good that, you know, it's not just one constant screen like Spider-Man. I mean, you're moving on an arm. You know, these individual – all of these benches are moving on their own individual arms. So you're swinging from scene to scene, and eventually, you know, you make it back safely into the castle, and all the students are cheering for you, and Dumbledore tells you, you know, you did a great job, and you know, you are, you know, you've proven your worth, and come back anytime. And of course, it dumps you out into a gift shop, which is also very, very crowded. But just amazing ride technology. I mean, I can't even describe it. It's like they took Spider-Man and Soarin' and put them together, and you know, if they had a baby, it would be Forbidden Journey, you know. But whereas Spider-Man was the most technologically advanced ride, you know, years ago, it makes Spider-Man look like a kiddie ride. It's that amazing. Wow. It's that good. I really do think it is the future of theme park. Rides. I think that's where we're going. Rides like this, and as I said, the digital animation and the joining of the, you know, the effects on the ride, you know, with the effects on the screen, really immerses you into the environment, into the world, and it did feel real. It was something else. And
what about,
you're really
tall. So how was the height and weight? Restrictions.
Yeah, you read my mind. I didn't have a problem with weight. I mean, I tend to be skinnier. But as far as tall, I will say that if I was probably an inch taller in my legs, I would have kicked all of the a lot of the ride, the, you know, portions, you know, the props that are around the ride, because my legs came very, very close to hitting stuff. So I'm just about 6'6". So I think if you're taller than me, you're going to have to tuck in your legs or something, or you know, you're going to brush up against stuff. and to expect that. Donna, you know, my wife was concerned too, because, you know, obviously women being built differently than men, but, you know, she got on fine. The outside seats are, according to an employee that we talked to, a little bit roomier. So you can do that. And if you do have concerns, am I going to fit? Am I not going to fit? Before you get on the line, there is a tester seat. There's two of them. And as long as the light on it goes yellow or green, you're good to go. So, and I do know they made some modifications from when it first opened to allow more people to ride. So, but yeah, I was concerned, but I needn't have worried. But again, I took a ton of pictures, but it's the entire area is something special. It's something different. I mean, I think Islands of Adventure is very well themed in and of itself, but that whole area itself is impressive, very special. Universal did a wonderful job creating it. You know, kudos to them for building a great ride in Forbidden Journey. You know, Hogwarts looks like a real castle. It feels damp and dank like a real castle would. The effects, even in the queue line, like I said, are not to be missed. And it has a lot of dedicated fans. I mean, there were tons of people. I mean, this ride, as I said, this whole park has been open. Part of the park has been open for almost a year. And there were a ton of fans we saw dressed up in costume. Lots of wizards, and not just little kids. I mean, I saw full adults walking around in robes and the glasses with the scar, and so lots of dedicated fans. I mean, if you've read any of the books, if you've seen the movies, you'll definitely enjoy it. A person could easily spend a day just in that part of the park. As far as crowds, let me say again, I mean, get there early because it gets crowded and it becomes very hard to navigate in the shops. It becomes very hard to navigate in the walkways, and the line for Forbidden Journey is not going to go down. Beyond that, though, as it got later in the day, they do start handing out tickets that you're going to need to show in order to get inside Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It will give you a return time to come back, like come back between 1 and 3. And eventually, they stop handing out the tickets. So if you get there later in the day, you know, you may find that, you know, you get there 2, 3 in the afternoon thinking, well, the park doesn't close till 10 o'clock at night. You may find that Harry Potter is already, you know, they've given out the tickets and that's it. They're not going to let anybody else in. And, you know, you've just paid your admission and you're not going to see that part of the park.
No, so, I wonder if they've got to be thinking about expanding that into one of the other areas since it's so popular.
I don't know what they would take away. As far as I'm concerned, you can take away, you know, a lot of those carnival rides and stuff, and you know, you could probably take away Voyage of Sinbad and things. I don't think those are anything special, and just continue to expand Hogwarts and Hogsmeade Village. It doesn't show any signs of being any less popular anytime soon. But really, if you were listening to this podcast and you're kind of on the fence, should I go? Is it really that special? Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. Go. Book a trip. Contact us. Go to our website. Email us. Call us. You know, do yourself a favor. Visit. It's worth seeing. It's worth experiencing. Forbidden Journey is, in and of itself, probably worth the money.
Islands of Adventure years ago, when it first opened, I was like, wow, they actually, for that Dueling Dragons, the queue line was actually really nice and themed, and the ride was really good.
And I like rides, but I don't know about that one.
I've heard the Harry Potter area is like unbelievably well themed.
I would agree. It is unbelievably well themed. J.K. Rowling did an amazing job.
Well, what was interesting? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was going to say really Universal did, but they took her direction. You know?
I think what's interesting is originally wasn't she supposed to? She was working with Disney, but she wanted too much.
Yeah, the rumor was that she wanted too much control, and that
right.
Universal,
she wanted total control. Yeah,
Universal would give it to her, and Disney would not. So that's when it went that direction.
Well, I'm sure Disney was probably thinking like, well, you know, with all due respect, Mrs. Rowling, you know, you want to make these shops really tiny. You put 30 people in here, they're going to be crowded. And they would be right. It is really, really crowded.
But isn't the whole thing like a totally different experience? Like, you can see Hogwarts Castle from the road, right? Whereas
yes.
Disney, you know, when you go to the Magic Kingdom, it's an entire experience in itself getting there. You know, you build that anticipation. I mean, there's just an entirely different thing going on seeing Disney's castle as opposed to seeing... Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm not laughing at you. No, I would say...
Hogwarts wouldn't make me cry. Disney is the... Yeah. You see the castle for the first time.
It's not going to make me cry, but if it doesn't make you go, wow. You know,
I think it's just the size. Because when I see pictures of it, it looks like it's just massive. You see the people compared to it, and they're walking up to it, and it just looks like this massive, real castle. Cinderella's castle is like a totally different thing. It's like... I don't think you can compare the two.
Yeah, and just the effects inside. I mean, it's also very well themed inside. Again, you know, they have the talking portraits. They have the newspaper from the school newspaper and the story about Harry Potter, and he's flying by in his broom. You know, and you see that moving. The sorting hat talking to you, giving directions, making it snow inside the queue.
That's impressive.
That's really cool. I mean, that they went to that length and... Like I said, I don't know if it's some kind of new digital technology, but it looks like when Harry, Hermione, and Ron are talking to you, it looks like they're in the room. It looks like they're up on a balcony.
They have some new hologram technology that they partnered with, and they used the same thing on one of their other rides a while back, the subway one, I think. But I haven't been on it since they put that hologram in.
Neither have I.
But it's supposed to be this, you know, the hologram where you can actually see the person in the room and to the point where it almost looks exactly like a real person.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it feels like. Like you are almost looking at a real person and having, you know, an interaction with them. And of course, you know, the reason for the detailed queue line is the same reason that Disney is putting, you know, detailed queues in rides like Haunted Mansion and you know, they put, you know, an interactive queue line in you know, something like Space Mountain. It's because, you know, people don't like to wait in lines, you know, but they will wait longer if there's something good to look at. So... but it just fits really well, and I mean it is a completely different experience than Disney. I mean, you know, you've got animated cartoons on one hand, and you know, Harry Potter is admittedly a much darker story. But if you like that story, you'll like this. I mean, you know, it brings Harry Potter, you know, to life.
I'm definitely a fan, And we do need to go next time we're in Orlando.
I'm actually going in December.
That's
going
to be a horrible time, though. Unless you're going at the slow time. You're going in the beginning of December?
Yeah, I'm going December 10th, I think.
And a couple of just a couple of things as far as the rides and things, just a couple of pointers and hints. First of all, you know, for people that have never been to Universal, you know, if you're driving a vehicle over there, you're going to park in their parking garage, and then you're going to have to walk to the park. So give yourself, you know, if the park opens at 9 o'clock, give yourself, you know, at least a half an hour of time just to, you know, get through the parking, you know, turnstiles, you know, pay, park, you know, and then walking to the park itself. At least a half an hour would be a fair estimate, more during a busy time. Also keep in mind that on most of these rides, especially Forbidden Journey and Dragon Challenge, but in a lot of their thrill rides at Universal, you cannot take anything bigger than a portable camera onto the ride. So, you know, if it won't fit in your pocket, you can't take it with you onto the ride. So there are lockers by the rides, and they are free for, you know, while you're on board the ride. And Universal does a very good job of knowing, well, you know, if it's a 2-hour wait, let's give the locker free to people for 3 hours, you know. So you do have to constantly store your stuff in a locker before you can get on these rides. So just consider that. And yeah, like I said, if Wizarding World is where you, you know, something you want to see, hit that first in the morning. You know, make your way to the park and get that part of the park, you know, out of your system, so to speak.
You know, it's almost like going on the ride vicariously through you, the way you described that. That was great.
Yeah,
you know, through the whole area, not just the ride. But
yeah, and I can't. I can't put it into words. It's that good, and I'm sure I've left stuff out and probably not described everything exactly. And I'm
You're
sure
like a giddy some... little schoolgirl, aren't you?
Yeah. It was that good. It was that good. But you know what I enjoy the most was the music. The music inside the Wizarding World area is really well done and does a great job of immersing you. And I don't know, it was just more obvious there, perhaps because I was stuck online for 2 hours.
You know? Yeah. Oh, what's with that?
Yeah, so I haven't heard that one. So, you know, but yeah, so all our listeners, you know, contact us, please. Let us book you and get you to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter so that you too can, you know, meet the boy wizard.
Well, Lauren, do you want to talk about the special arrangements that Universal offers with that transportation ticket?
Oh, sure. I can do that. Okay. Universal, when you buy a 1 day 2 park pass, you can get transportation from the Disney World Resort to Universal Studios for the day, there and back.
And that way you can still do your Disney vacation. You still don't have to rent a car. You're not going to have to pay the $45 one-way taxi fee. And they're going to come pick you up.
Yep. And take it's you back. Actually... And then you can just stay in one resort and you don't have to go moving around, which is nice. You can stay at Disney Parks and do the 1 day that you need at Universal.
Yeah, that's a really smart thing that Universal has done is offer this.
Oh, that is one thing. If for people that stay on property, they get the Express Pass free. You know, they get, you know, front of the line free.
Right.
For the day they arrive, plus the entire day of their checkout. So that's good to know.
A nice perk.
So, yes,
yeah, that's
nice.
Nice. And yeah, we can book those hotels too, Hard Rock Cafe.
And they're all very nice, and they all offer pool hopping privileges. They're all 4-star diamond rated resorts. For guests that want to book a Universal package through Pixie Vacations, we can certainly do that for you. If you want to stay on property, Universal has 3 resorts. There is the Royal Pacific Resort, which they consider their quote-unquote low-end property. There's the Hard Rock, and then there's Portofino Bay, which is, I guess, your top-level resort and would be the highest priced. All of these resorts are 4-star diamond rated by AAA, so they are very good quality, all interior corridor type resorts. Among the benefits that you have booking a Universal resort, you do get everyone in the room gets front of the line privileges for the length of stay up through the day of your checkout. So if you check out, you know, on Sunday and your flight doesn't leave till 10 p.m. at night, well, you can go back to the park and you have front-of-the-line access. The front-of-the-line access is not good for Forbidden Journey. It's also not good for Rip Ride Rocket over at Hollywood Studios. But most of the other attractions, you can do the front-of-the-line access, and it saves you a ton of time. Also, the other good benefit to staying on property there, if you are so inclined, is they offer pool hopping. So if you're staying at Royal Pacific Resort and you get tired of their pool and you say, well, gee, they don't have a slide, even though this pool is really nice, I kind of want to check out, you know, the 3 slides over at Portofino Bay. Well, take the free boat launch from your resort over to Portofino Bay and go there and ride there. You know, slides and you know, mess around in their pools and then head back to your resort. So nice benefit there. And of course, all of these resorts are right there on property, so they're very, very close to both of the parks. Royal Pacific Resort would actually be the closest to Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You're probably 12 minutes from Royal Pacific into Islands of Adventure itself. So just another thing to keep in mind.
I like this show. This was a good show. So we'll wrap it up with that. That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to mousechat. I can't do it. I just can't. All right.
I like it like that.
Take two. No, but I messed up the email. Okay, hold on. Take two. It's nice and calm and serene.
So we're all tired.
I know. Oh my gosh, it's 11 o'clock. That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments at mousechat.net. Join us again here next week. I'm Mouse Chat. Good night.
Night.
Bye.
All right, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're done. We had enough.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
Buenos nachos.
Bye.
Yep. Good night. Bye-bye.